Well, we're thankful today to have our youth director, Brother Tony Segmini, coming to bring the morning message. Brother Tony and his family have been with us now for several years, and they're doing an outstanding job in our youth department. The youth department is, yeah, amen. I agree. The youth department is growing numerically and spiritually. And the Segminis have a real passion to reach teenagers with the gospel of Jesus Christ and then to see them become devoted, lifelong followers of Christ and live for Him all their days. And by God's grace, so many of them that have come out of the youth department are doing just that. Brother Tony also directs our short-term missions program, which is really a monumental task, organizing and administrating all the details that need to be organized for many, many people to travel internationally each year. And we're looking forward to hearing some testimonies from our short-term mission teams even next Sunday night. So here in just a moment, Brother Tony is going to come with a message from God's Word. I hope you'll pray for him. But first, we'll have a song.
If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. As you're turning there, I would like to thank our pastor again for the opportunity and privilege to preach this morning. We also are grateful to our church family for letting the Segmini's serve here at Worth Baptist Church. In September, we'll celebrate 9 years of being here in Fort Worth. And it seemed just like the other day. And as pastor was giving us just some kind words, I appreciate the two that were giving us a hand for being here. And the rest of you felt like you had to follow in. I understand that. So no hard feelings at all. I do feel like I'm a Texan. I just don't have a big belt buckle and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat to prove it yet, all right? I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan. I do like going to the Texas Rangers game, and I do pull for the Dallas Mavericks. And so I feel like I'm slowly becoming a Texan here. If you're here for the first time, I would encourage you to be back to hear our pastor preach. I know without a doubt you'll be helped by his preaching ministry. Let's try that again, church family. If you're here for the first time, please be back to hear our pastor preach. I know without a doubt that you'll be helped by his preaching ministry. Hey, yes. The church just needs a little help, pastor, to kind of be encouraged up, right? Seriously, if you are here this morning, I know that our pastor and his wife would love the opportunity to meet you outside in the lobby later on today. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3 this morning. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And as we come to verse 2, we have the definition of faith. The definition of faith is looking unto Jesus. If you'll go back, you'll see the description of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. What is the description of faith? "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And so the description of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The definition of faith found here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. Verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." If you're in the habit this morning of marking things in your Bible, would you go back to verse number 2 and underline the phrase, "the joy that was set before him." The joy that was set before him. The title of our message this morning is "The Joy of Jesus Christ." Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, please speak to us through thy Spirit. Use the Word of God to draw us to the Son of God. May we all see Jesus high and lifted up today. And I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And as we all leave this morning, may we have the joy of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. In 2005, a homeless man by the name of Ted stumbled upon a briefcase that had $100,000 in it. Ted was told by screenwriter Wayne Powers that the money was his to keep and to do with it as he wished. There's one stipulation. Ted would have to allow a film crew to document the result. What would you do with $100,000? Wayne Powers wondered if that amount of money could change a person's life for the better. Ted was also given access to a free financial advisor, maybe someone like Damon McGuire. What did Ted do? First thing, he bought a brand new bicycle. Then he took a friend of his to an amusement park. And then Ted rented a room in a motel. The news of Ted's wealth spread to the homeless community, and from every corner of the community, they came to Ted for help. He didn't realize how many friends he did have. Ted, are you ready? Even fell in love and got married. He spent $34,000 on a brand new truck, and he spent thousands of dollars on furnishing a new apartment. The story continues that he had rejected help from the financial advisor and the assistant from his immediate family. He presumed that everyone was after his money. It seemed that Ted was more focused on enjoying the moment, and within 8 months, Ted had spent or given away all of his money and was homeless again. What do you think of when you hear the word happiness? Unwrapping gifts on Christmas morning, maybe strolling hand in hand with a loved one, maybe being surprised on your birthday or vacationing at an exotic island. Everyone wants to be happy. We make chasing this dream a lifelong pursuit, spending money and collecting things and searching for the new experiences. But if happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when those things are gone? When the toys and cars rust? When our loved ones die, when our health deteriorates, when our money is lost or stolen, and the party's over. Often, happiness flees and despair sets in. In contrast to happiness stands joy. Running deeper and stronger, joy, as one writer put, is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives, that He will be there no matter what, because happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. Let me speak to all the teenagers and young adults for just a few moments here. This may sound strange, but did you know, teenager and young adult, that it's possible for you to hang out with someone that's 20 years older and have fun? One of my favorite hobbies, if you know me at all, is first eating and then stretching and exercising. And then number three, it would be playing golf. One of my favorite hobbies is playing golf. And one of my favorite people to play golf with is a guy by the name of Earl Sides. He'll be 61 years old, I think, in September. 61, is that right? He'll be 61 in September. And I know what some of you are thinking. You lost me when you said having fun with older people and playing golf. Like, that is an oxymoron. But for some odd reason, I enjoy hitting this ball and chasing it around. It's challenging. But I love playing with Earl because whether he plays well or whether he plays bad, he always enjoys it. I'm throwing my clubs around. I'm yelling at the ball, expecting it to respond and to listen to me. But not Earl. I really enjoy the game because I can't quite figure it out. Earl is cool as the other side of the pillow. And if you know Earl's sides at all, if you've been around him, he's not just like that on the golf course, but he's like that in life. And I think Brother Earl has found the secret to joy. True joy comes from the Lord. I think Nehemiah said it well. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm not against, look, I'm not against this morning about being happy. If you would like to shake my hand at the end of the service and slip me $100,000 into my pocket, I'll be very grateful. As a matter of fact, I'll probably give you a hug and say thank you. But I refuse this morning, and with God's help, I refuse to tie my soul to just happiness. Because happiness is outside in, and lasting joy is different. It is inside out. Joy comes from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16:11, the psalmist says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." In Galatians, the word of God says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And I think the Apostle Paul was one who understood the presence of God in his life because he truly had joy. The book of Philippians in the New Testament has been considered Paul's joy letter. The concept of rejoicing or joy appears almost 20 times in that letter. And at the very end in Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes, "In prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." The question I present to us this morning is, do we have the joy of Jesus Christ? Maybe you stumbled into church this morning and circumstances are not working out in your favor. Are you just frustrated in life? Sometimes around young people and even college age students, and I just see in their countenance they are just frustrated. Does it seem like every corner you turn, you run into a roadblock or a closed door? And instead of having clarity at home and at work and with your friends and at school and with family, does it seem like things are just cloudy? Well, Ted, this morning, the answer is not in receiving $100,000. And I'm here to say it is possible for you and I, no matter what the situation or circumstance is like, we can live in joy. In the letter here to the Hebrew Christians, the human penman clearly points out that Christ is superior to Judaism and that he is supreme over all. Jesus is supreme and completely sufficient for our salvation. That's the main idea in the book of Hebrews. And if you read and study through Hebrews, you'll find that Jesus is superior to the prophets. Jesus is superior to the angels. Jesus is superior to Moses, the one who God gave the law to. Jesus is superior to Joshua, the one who led the children of Israel through the wilderness into the promised land. Jesus is superior to the high priest because he is the high priest. The one who offered his life, the one sacrificed for sins forever. And in the epistle to the Hebrews, you'll find that the law is good, but that grace under Christ is better. And the word better is found over 13 times in the book of Hebrews. The word perfect is found 15 different times. And what I'm here to say from the book of Hebrews is this, that Christ is supreme. He's better and he's better and he's mature and he's greater than, he's perfect than, he's greater than anything that you need. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you've tried everything in life, I want to challenge you. Have you tried Jesus? Because having a personal relationship with the Son of God and serving him is where true joy comes from. These Hebrew Christians had stopped short of a victorious and fruitful life and were sorely tempted to become legalistic and to neglect their salvation. And they are therefore at the beginning admonished to let us go on unto perfection, or let us go on to maturity. And you'll find at the beginning in Hebrews, the doctrinal part, and at the end, the practical part in the book of Hebrews, the writer says this, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And verse 3 says, "For consider him." Consider Christ. And a couple weeks back, these verses that I've memorized were brought to my attention, specifically that phrase, the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before Jesus Christ? I believe that the joy that Jesus had was the peace that he was obeying God the Father. The joy of Jesus was obedience to God's command. Often, Rachel and I will ask our kids to take care of some of the chores and pitch in around the house. How many of you think that's a good thing? Yes. You see all the hands here, Jonathan? Esther? Yeah. It's important for you to pitch in at the house, right? And so just some small things, you know, like take out the trash, empty the dishwasher, fold your own clothes, practice the piano. And sometimes Rachel and I will get back to the house and we'll usually ask, have you completed the assignments? And there have been many times when they would show us their checklist marked off. You should see the joy on their faces. The joy was not in doing the assignment. The joy was completing what mom and dad asked them to do. And I think that's what we have here. Jesus Christ, his joy was obeying God the Father. I believe Jesus had joy going to the cross because he was obeying the command of God the Father. It wasn't easy. Now, the Bible even says that he suffered. He endured the cross. He dealt with shame. And I was even listening this week at a podcast and reminded that our Christian life is not supposed to be convenient and comfortable. Everything doesn't always work out. And I think we have sadly mistaken that everything is supposed to be easy and comfortable. We never forget the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that brought joy to God the Father and even to Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. At our church here, there are a lot of exciting things going on. By the way, you don't want to miss this evening service. Some of you are like, I didn't know you have an evening service. Well, come back and join us, 6 o'clock. We're going to have a combined bilingual service with the Hispanic department. Super excited about it. I told the teenagers in the youth department, Pastor, and I said, not only is Pastor Jilly going to preach and Pastor Paul is going to interpret, but afterwards we're going to have nachos and Coke. And they were like, we'll be there, right? And I thought, just like Baptists, right? We'll be there. Super excited about the evening service here. But I believe one of the great outreach and ministries of our church, and our pastor hinted to it here, is our short-term mission trips. We've been doing them for about the last 10 years here at our church. We pray and support missionaries, but we also go and visit them on the field. To our church, we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I've heard our pastor say many times, we also believe that every Christian is saved, gifted, and commissioned for God's global glory. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So our pastor has made short-term missions a vital part of our church. This year we had 4 short-term mission trips going to South Texas, to Arizona, to Mexico, and to Australia. And we had 46 of our members, young and old, travel to all parts of the world. Now, don't miss next week's service because it's also an exciting evening service because it's one of my favorites of the year. It's our short-term mission trip recap service in the evening. This past Tuesday, I went to the airport to pick up the group that just got back from Mexico. It was about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. And as I picked up the group, they were visiting our member missionaries, the Cokers in Mexico. And I understood sometimes after a long day of travel and being away from home, you're just tired, and you're not in the mood to talk to anyone. How many of you have ever been there before? Sometimes it's just from a day of work, right? Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. I don't care if you are my kids or my wife or my dog. Just leave me alone for a minute. So I understood that, picking up the group. I didn't want to ask them too many questions because I didn't want to bother them. I knew they had traveled for quite some time. But something strange about the group when I picked them up. I don't know if it's because I was on time and the flight arrived earlier, but the group that I picked up from our church that went to Mexico for about a week was full of life. They were tired, but they were joyful. Each one on the shuttle had something exciting to say about their trip. And I believe the members of that group illustrate the message this morning. It wasn't $100,000 that they had just received that made them excited. It was the joy of Jesus Christ. And when we think of the joy of Jesus Christ, I really believe you find it all throughout his public ministry. And what an example that Jesus set for us. And I jotted down just a few things about the joy of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to share these real quick with you here. Number one, I wrote down Jesus served others. Just a few pages back in the book of John chapter 13. Before Jesus went to the cross to suffer, to bleed, and to die, we find Jesus Christ, our great example, serving others. In John 13, verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, went to God. The Lord Jesus riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. The Lord Jesus here wasn't concerned about his position in life, but as Philippians 2 said, he humbled himself. He humbled himself here to a point and became a servant. I was able to catch up with one of the members from the Mexico mission trip, and I asked, because he had never been on a short-term mission trip with our church before, I said, give me the five highlights on your list. And four out of the five things, Brother Jimmy, had all to do with serving. The other was food. What did that individual on that trip remind me of? That there is joy in serving Jesus. As the hymn writer puts, there is joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills the heart with praises every hour, every day. There is joy in serving Jesus. Joy amid the darkest night. For I've learned the wondrous secret and I'm walking in the light. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I draw upon his power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. I wrote down, Jesus served others. I also wrote this down, Jesus went to others. Just a few chapters before that, in John chapter 4, we have that Jesus going to the broken and the rejected. In John 4, verse 4, the Bible says that the word of God said that must needs go through Samaria. And then he comes and meets this woman at the well, and he asks the woman to give water, give me drink, in verse 7. And then verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, here's what this lady said to Jesus, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? And the word of God says, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. What do we see here? Jesus went to others, even to others who were not like him. Just a personal testimony. I am thankful for two Caucasian men that went to find an Asian boy in Belmont, North Carolina, and they gave me the gospel, and that's why I'm here today. I think it'd be helpful for us to, every now and then, Brother Corey, just to sing that, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, because they're all precious in his sight. Jesus went to the hopeless. He went to the dying. He went to the multitude. He went to the individual. Jesus went to others. I wrote this down. Jesus spoke to others. He served others. He went to others. He spoke to others. In John 3, we find the story, Jesus speaking to a rich man, a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus. And in a few chapters over, in John chapter 8, he takes the time to speak to a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. What do we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ? He spoke to the religious. He spoke to the rejected. He spoke to the rich and to the rulers and to the rebellious. Jesus took time to speak to others. And I ask, dear Christian, when was the last time that you and I speak to others about their eternal soul and their eternal destiny? Because that is connected to joy. I wrote this down. Jesus touched others. One of the, maybe the most powerful miracles, in my opinion, is found in Matthew chapter 8, just a few pages back here. Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says that Jesus is going to the multitude here. And in the midst of that, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, there came a leper and worshiped him. There came a leper to him and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And here's, I think, one of the most powerful miracles. The Bible says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. He touched this man. He touched a leper. He could have spoken because he is God and that man could have been healed. But Jesus decided to set an example, I believe, for us. He made the effort to touch others that maybe were untouchable. Those who were unclean and maybe had an odor about them. Jesus made the effort to touch others. And I love how Jesus reached out to the children. He touched the hurting and restored them. He cared for people physically. Jesus touched others. And I wrote this down lastly. Jesus not only served others and went to others and spoke to others and touched others, but Jesus sacrificed for others. Why did Jesus come? One of my favorite Bible verses. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, even the people said this. The people said, he saved others. Why? Because he was sacrificing his life. If you're here this morning, and God forbid it happened, but if you died today and you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, I want you to know that Jesus died for you. And he's the only way of salvation. You can come to church and you can go on trips and you can give money to charity. But if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are not on your way to heaven. That's where joy starts. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the word of God says that if we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God had raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we see this morning, as we're talking about the joy of Jesus Christ, did you notice the common denominator? Jesus served others. Jesus went to others. Jesus spoke to others. Jesus touched others. Jesus sacrificed for others. What's the common denominator? It's others. Someone came up with the acronym for joy. Jesus, others, you. Is that how we're living today? Jesus first, then others, then us. John Phillips wrote, to seek one's own advancement is worldly. To seek the prosperity, good, and promotion of others is divine. And we didn't spend much time on Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, but I believe the writer was trying to state that one of the great dangers in the Christian life is the peril of just remaining stationary, of doing nothing. Being hearers of the word and not doers, drifting along and doing nothing at all about God's eternal salvation in our lives. And the writer of Hebrews challenges us in verse number 1 to get into the race, to get moving, and to stop drifting. And I'm convinced that to consider Christ from Hebrews 12:3 is one of the most important things that we could ever do. And so I ask, have you lost your joy, Christian? Have you lost the joy of Jesus Christ? I didn't say have you lost your salvation, because we know that's not possible. But have you lost the joy of Jesus Christ? And too many followers of Christ, I believe, have lost your joy. Where do I go? Where do I start? I'm glad you asked. Let's look to the Word of God. One last passage for this morning. Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm of confession. David starts, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. I love this psalm. And David says down in verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And here's what David prays. You see it there, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. When we have the joy of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, everything in life as a Christian is easier. Like family, work, church, friends, everything. Amen. When we have the joy of Jesus Christ. When we don't have the joy, everything's frustrating. We're frustrated with our family. We're frustrated with our kids. We're frustrated about going to church this morning. We're waking up, alarm goes off. Your hair's messed up. You stumble out of the house. The kids want cereal. There's no milk. Then you get to church and you got someone like Earl Sides with a big smile that walks up to you. Hey, brother, good to see you. And you think, Earl, I'm going to punch you. What's wrong with him? You've lost the joy. And there are others, and I'm not saying that Brother Earl never has a bad day. There are others who wake up and think, I'm not living in a mansion, but God is good. His salvation is real. My back's hurt, but I'm not dead. Have you lost the joy of Jesus Christ? Joy is not the product of our circumstances. Joy is the result of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I close this morning If you've never put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's where joy starts. You must A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And then C, call upon him as Lord and Savior. And this morning, if you're a Christian here and you're living in defeat with no joy, it may be because you're not following the example of Jesus Christ. Because joy comes from serving others. Joy comes from going to everyone with the gospel. Joy comes from speaking to the lost for Christ. And joy comes from reaching out and giving of yourself to those who are around you who are in need. And if you'll remember the words of Christ, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Pastor and I were talking last week. And without fail, it seemed like Pastor was mentioning, whoever goes on a short-term mission trip are always filled with joy, true joy. Not because you're given $100,000, but you have joy because you're serving, you're going, you're speaking, you're touching, and you're sacrificing for others. That's where joy is. The joy of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask for a pastor to come and extend the invitation. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that you'll make today the day of salvation. And for those of us who are Christians, would we pray that prayer that David prayed in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Get involved and recommit to serving, to giving, to speaking, to touching, and to sacrificing for others. Pastor?
Father, we're so thankful that we have been reminded this morning of the joy of Jesus Christ. If anyone had a reason not to be joyful, certainly it was Jesus on the cross. But even then, the darkest moment any person has ever had in human history, he also had your joy. And Lord, if he could have joy on the cross, then surely we could have joy this morning, no matter what we're going through. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, we pray they'd be saved. And for all of your people who are missing the joy of their salvation, help us to cry out and ask you to restore it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here who would say, to be honest, I'm not sure I have a relationship with God? Folks, he was right. That's where everything begins. You can't have the joy of Jesus until you meet Jesus. And if you don't know him, meet him today and he'll bring his joy with him. How many of you would say, I'm not sure that I know God. I'm not sure that I have a relationship with Christ. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to be. Pastor, would you please pray for me? Every head bowed and every eye closed and no one but me and God looking, would you just lift your hand with mine today? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be sure. Would you please pray for me, Pastor? Hold it up for just a moment. I'm going to scan the auditorium. I'd like to pray for you today. Will not ask you to join the church or give a speech. I simply want to pray for you today. Anyone here who would say, I'm not sure I know Christ. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pastor, would you pray for me? God bless you. Anyone else today? Pastor, would you please pray for me? If you raise your hand, just look up at me for a moment. God bless you. Here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. Our heads will stay bowed, our eyes will stay closed, and all of us are going to stand. We want to invite you to leave your seat and come to the front. A worker will be there with a Bible to show you from God's word how you can be saved. That's so very important. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We can't skip that step. We need to show you from a Bible how you can be saved today. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, just step out here in a moment as we begin to sing, and we'd love to show you in a private and personal way how you can be saved today. How many of you would say, this was a message I needed today. I've been missing the joy of my salvation, and I want it back. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine today? That's many of us today. God bless you. Here in just a moment, perhaps you'd like to come and hit the altar and just pray that prayer of the psalmist, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, he was so right. So much of our unhappiness comes from a preoccupation on ourselves. We just get too focused on ourselves and our circumstances and what we're going through, and we forget that's never where we found joy. We found it in our relationship with Jesus, and we found it in serving others. And we need to get back to those things today. And if God's spoken to you today, I hope, Christians, you'll lead the way and come to the altar and get that joy back. Father, thank you again for the message, and thank you for how it reminded us of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how we need your joy today. Help us to get it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.